Well, let's talk about rude awakenings. Have you had some rude awakenings in your life? What do you do when God brings rude awakenings into your life? Well, Jesus addresses this subject, and he does so by telling a story. Everybody loves stories. So turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 16, where Jesus tells a story about rude awakenings. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, when you get there, follow along. I'll read beginning in verse 1, and we will read through verse 15. And he, that's Jesus, said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. Remember, a steward is a, think of this way, a business manager. A man had a steward which... And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and he said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship for that thou mayest be no longer steward. And the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg, I'm ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their home, their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and he said unto the first, how much owest thou my Lord? And he said unto him, 100 measures of oil. He said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. And he said to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. He said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commendeth the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generations wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fall, or that when ye fail, ye may receive you into, or they may receive you into everlasting habitations. And he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will uphold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Now let's pray to ask God to speak to us about times when we have rude awakenings in our lives, and for God to use those rude awakenings for things that really matter. Isn't that why you, don't you want to live for things that really matter? So let's pray and ask God to help us, all right? Now, Lord God, we ask for your help because we, coming to the Bible, we realize this is a book unlike any other book. It is supernatural in its origin, and it is powerful, living, and it works in us. And we come with an anticipation, believing that the Holy Spirit is speaking to individuals and working with individuals like us here. And so we ask, God, for your help to speak to us and so that we meet you. And whatever that means, it may be for some in this room, streaming, online, wherever they, in the fellowship, however they are, that this is a time that you are dealing with people to meet you and know the saving power of Jesus Christ. There are other people you're meeting in different ways and different at this time. And so, God the Spirit, help us, we pray. For we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you'll notice that this is a sermon that Jesus preached to two groups. The first group, verse 1, tells us very clearly that he said this to his disciples. And really, they were the guys he was preaching to. But did you see the other group of people that were listening in on his sermon? You saw in your Bible, look at verse 14, if you will. The Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things. They derided him. So this is a sermon to two groups of people. In each of these sermons, for each of these people, there was a different lesson. For the wise or the disciples, there was the wise use of opportunity. For the Pharisees, there was the danger of covetousness. And Jesus gave this sermon for two reasons. You'll notice that in verse two, there was in a city, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. The same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods, and he finds out, hey, listen, your steward, and he's on the take. He's not managing your things well, and you'll notice then in verse 2, he called unto him and said to him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, that thou may no longer be steward. And all of a sudden, this steward, this unjust steward, all of a sudden, his life begins to change because he comes to a moment where things are... I don't know how you would say it. It's a rude awakening. I mean, things were just going along. He was on the take. He's profiting. His master has no idea. And everything's going great. But all of a sudden, this rude awakening begins to change his life. How many of you know that sometimes in your life, God has a way of arranging rude awakenings that change your life? And at this time then, this rude awakening, he responds. And do you know God is bringing us at different times in our lives to rude awakenings? And when he brings us to these rude awakenings, it is up to us then, how will we respond when God brings a rude awakening? So let's talk about how we respond to rude awakenings. Well, when you have rude awakenings, this rude awakening gives us a chance to see first ourselves. Here's a man that came to this crisis, and all of a sudden, he realized that he was a steward. He didn't own anything. Everything that he had was his master's. Everything was given to him by his master. Everything, even in his unjustly handling his master's affairs and on the take off of his master, he realized, wait a minute, I don't have anything. What am I going to do? He begins to look at his life in a very different way. You know, in your life, when you come to the point that you realize that I don't really own anything, everything that has ever been given to me, everything is something that God has allowed into my life. So you get the idea, it's my stuff. Well, it is your stuff in one sense. Whatever you brought your purse, you brought your Bible, you brought your phone, you brought your backpack, whatever you brought today with you, in one sense it is your stuff. But really, when you come to the point that you say, this isn't my stuff, this is God's stuff. My job is to manage the stuff that he's given me. Your life begins to change. So the steward begins to see himself in a different way. Moreover, the scriptures say, 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. In what ways are people stewards? Well, every one of us is a steward. We're a steward first of our soul. What shall a man, Jesus said, give in exchange for his soul? You know, the scriptures tell us that Christ died, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. You and I are condemned because of our sin. And Jesus, God's Son, came from the eternal glories of heaven to earth as the God-man. And Jesus, after a sinless life, died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. And then, because he paid the debt as an individual, realizing my sin, that Christ paid my debt, when I put my trust in Jesus, turn from my sin and put my trust in what Jesus did for me and receive him by faith, then my sin is placed on his account. His righteousness is placed on my account. And God, with whom I was a stranger and so far apart, now through Christ, I'm reconciled. I am made one. Every one of us is a steward of our soul. Where are you going to be 100 years from now? You say, you know, I'm not even sure I'm going to be next week. The chances are that 100 years from now, you won't be on this earth. Though, listen, we have some, you know, we have some centenarians, right? But the chances are 100 years from now, you won't be here. But 100 years from now, you're going to be somewhere. And the Bible says there are only two places. You're either going to be eternity in hell or eternity in heaven. And all of it has to do with the stewardship of your soul. Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ alone? With Him, eternity in heaven. Without Him, there's only one other place, eternity in hell. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You're a steward of your soul. Here's another area where we're all stewards, and that is a steward of our time. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, verse 16. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Your time. Here's another area to think about. How about the gifts and abilities that God gives you? Because God gives each of us a stewardship of gifts, abilities, opportunities. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And then we're all stewards of the gospel. So that the Apostle Paul writes these words, 1 Thessalonians 2:4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. So this good news and the saving message of Christ that makes men free and is their only hope is a stewardship. All of these areas are areas of your life over which you are a steward. Now, in this parable to which we've turned, the emphasis is on the stewardship of material possessions. And that is an important part of life stewardship. Isn't that an important part of life? But the bigger picture is that God is when he thinks of stewardship, it isn't just about material possessions. It is about every aspect of your life. All of it is his, and everything is his, and what I possess is his, and I am to use it as a steward because it's ultimately all his. And we come to a rude awakening, and God gets our attention. And when God gets our attention, now we stop and look at ourselves. So how are you doing in the stewardship of your life? Is God the Spirit speaking to you about the stewardship of your life? Well, so we have a rude awakening. We see ourselves. I'll tell you something else you see in a rude awakening. When we have a rude awakening, we see our life. Now, the parable of this unjust steward is given right after another well-known parable. Luke 15 describes a story Jesus tells about a prodigal son. The younger son, Dad, growing up, I want my way, I want my, give me my inheritance, I'm going to live my life. And boy, he does. Leaves home. Man, he lives his life. He wastes his life. He finally comes to himself and comes back to his father who openly receives him. But it tells us about a kind of a life, a wasted life. There's another boy in this parable that Jesus tells. It's the older brother. The older brother, boy, he stayed home, did everything he should have done. But he had a different kind of life. He was just a spent life. He didn't have joy. And he was there. But even though he was at home, his heart was still far from the Father. He spent his life and he went through the motions. You know, you can do that. You just go through your life. and still have a heart far from the Father. And then Jesus tells about this parable of this unjust steward, and he is a rotten guy. How many of you would like to have that guy as on your payroll? How many of you would like to work with that guy? No thanks, we don't want to work with that guy. But when he came to this rude awakening, there's something that he learned about his life that is a different kind of a life, and that is he learned now, after this rude awakening, to invest his life. And that's the kind of life that God is describing, a life that is an invested life. And he comes to this rude awakening, and he comes to this realization that two perspectives of his life needed to change. The first is that he realized, as often happens when we come to these rude awakenings, that we live for the wrong master. So when he describes his master in verse 5, it is interesting the word that he uses. He called every one of his lord's debtors. He said, this is my lord. Prior to this, do you know who his master was? I mean, he was on the payroll. He was on the take, but he was on the payroll for this man. But his master was himself and money. Steal, manipulate, rob. And he realizes when he comes to this rude awakening, wait, I'm not the boss of me. That's quite a change in perspective. I'm not my own boss. Well, then he has another change of perspective, and that is that he learns something else, that he was living for the wrong motive. And sometimes it's easy to find out. And he was living for what he could get and what he could take, and all of a sudden time ran out because he was found out. How many of you know that, why is it that we do this? Why is it that we think we can get away with things? Did you ever notice that? Why is it that we think we are the exception to the rule? You see, he was living for what he could get rather than how he could faithfully serve his master. And when he comes to this realization, now this man begins to rearrange things in his life. And he asks a great question in verse 3. The steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. I'm not going to get out there with a shovel. I'm not ready for manual labor. And then he says, to beg, I'm ashamed. I'm resolved what to do, that when I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors and said to him, unto the first, how much owest thou my Lord? And he said, well, 100 measures of oil. He said, take thy bill, sit down quickly and write 50. How many of you like a 50% off sale? Yeah. How many of you like to have 50% off clearance? What's better? 50% off, 50% off clearance. Now that's a deal. Right? That's great. Well, then he goes to the other one. He says to another, how much owest thou? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said unto him, take thy bill and write 80, 80. Hey, that's pretty good at 20%. Do you like 20% off? Now, come on. You're better shoppers than that. I mean, don't you get excited about 20% off? Yeah. Sure. And he comes up with this plan, and watch what the master says. The master could have had him thrown in jail. That was his right. But he gave him time before he fired him. And the master watches what his steward does before he gets fired, and the Lord commended him, verse 8, the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. And Jesus makes this comment, the children of this world are in their generation wiser than children of light. Sometimes they have worldly wisdom, but sometimes they can make a good decision. And the master said, boy, I'll tell you what. That guy's a rotten guy. He's a bad steward. I don't want him on my payroll anymore. He's going to get fired, but at least he made a good decision for himself for the future. Because he was aware, as you read, that if he could establish these relationships, maybe whenever he gets let go, someone else will bring him on because of that deal that he gave him. And it all reminds us that this steward begins to see his life differently when he has this rude awakening. And now that he's finally reached this point when there's nothing he can do, this rude awakening, now he begins to say, what in my life needs to change? I wonder if you knew that today were the very last day of your life, how much rearranging would need to take place? Well, sometimes God brings these rude awakenings, and when he does so, we see ourselves, we see our life. And as this steward did, sometimes we too see our master. There's no reason to believe this master was a hard man or a crooked man. In fact, it seems to me that he is a kind man, because he could have had the man cast in prison right away, but he gives him some time to rearrange some things because the master knew that his life would change. But things began to change because you'll notice in chapter 16, verse 2, he called him and said, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship. And he realized that this master was more than just somebody he could use to get and to manipulate. This master was the one to whom he would answer and give accountability. Sometimes we think of God as just this big old grandpa up there. But friends, he is not a big old grandpa. He is the Almighty God, the judge of all the earth. Every one of us will answer to this God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible says, for those of us who are in Christ. We will all give an account for our stewardship, not to determine our eternal soul, but to determine reward or loss for how we've invested the life that God has given us. And those without Christ, my friend, we are, the Bible says, condemned already. But once we come to the end of this life, and if you have not received him, you will one day be cast into this lake of fire. You don't need to, because Christ has paved the way. If you'll come to Christ, you can be saved. But you will never outrun the almighty wrath of God. So come to Christ even today. So he has a different view of his master. And now, even though there are some things that he can't change, he's already made those sins against his master. He's already failed. But though he cannot change what he has done, now he begins to change what he is doing, because he is now beginning to change for the future that he could have. And isn't it wonderful that for all of us, we look back and we say, oh man, I wish I could go back and redo some things, but you can't. But I can begin today. Regret is terrible. Terrible. But God is a God that takes regrets and he puts them in the past, forgives them, and he takes us moving forward. Today, if you could say, you just held back because of regrets, and you are controlled by your regrets rather than being controlled by the forgiving grace of God, then friend, it is time for you to stop using that club as a way to bludgeon yourself or as a crutch to keep you from moving forward, because God's grace is always enough. Let's go. Let's go. Because of our master, he is a God of grace. So when we come to these times of rude awakenings, we see ourselves, we see our life, we see our master. But then, and really the point of this parable is it gives us a chance to stop and think and take a new look at our possessions. So that in verse 10, I want you to notice what the Bible says. When Jesus makes this comment, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. And even the master himself commended the servant, not because he was such a rotten guy, but at least he was willing to make a change in the way he handled the opportunity before him. And for you, it could be that God is helping you to understand about your view of the possessions that you have. Do I own my possessions or do my possessions own me? Possessions are wonderful tools to be used and enjoyed, but they are terrible slaves when they have you and you don't have them. So we think about our possessions. Hey, there's something else. When you have a rude awakening in your life, there's something else that we think about and God uses to think about in your life. And sometimes in these rude awakenings, we see people in a different way. Oh, to this point, the unjust steward looked at the master as somebody that he could manipulate to get what he wanted. And could hide what he wanted to get from his master. And yeah, he was getting rich off of his master. A man to be manipulated. He looked at the debtors, business partners, vendors, people, accounts for which he needed to provide accountability and to manage. But he comes to the end of this and everything begins to change and his world begins to fall apart, and all that he was hiding now comes out in the open, and there's nowhere to run and there's nowhere to hide. And so he says in verse 4 these words, "I am resolved what to do, that when I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." Now, he was still manipulating away. When it's all done and my master finally lets me go, maybe one of these guys will give me a job. So he's still a rotten guy. But here's what he realized. He realized along the way that he was using people, not investing in people. Can I say that again? Using people, not investing in people. How many of you know it's easy to use people? Maybe you're a user. You're using people for your own end and what you get out of them rather than what you can give. How you can make a difference. How you can invest. And when God brings these rude awakenings and we see the reality of who we are and we realize, man, I have been a user, then there's hope for you, because now God can begin to change your view of people. Well, Jesus then has a point to his story. How many of you have ever heard a public speaker tell a story that seemed to have no point? There was a little nervous laughter. I wonder if you're saying, yeah, I come to Stanley Heights. That happens here sometimes. More nervous laughter. So Jesus tells this story, but he did have a point in his story. And hopefully when the preacher tells a story, he has a good point. And the good point of Jesus' story is found further down in this portion of Scripture. I want you to notice and remember that Jesus gives, I think, some really challenging words to us. He reminds us then in verse 12, I'll start there. Not verse 12, excuse me. In verse 10, I'll read again. "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that's managing the things that the possessions, the things that God's put in your life, who will commit to your trust true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, neither for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let me share with you then these two wonderful, challenging principles. And this is really a rearrangement of another area we look at in our life, and that is priorities. When we come to a rude awakening, it gives an opportunity for us to stop and think about what's really important in our life. And what really matters to me and what really matters to God. And he reminds us that of the priority of present opportunity. Am I using whatever opportunity God has placed in my life, am I using this wisely? Really, even the rude awakening that God's brought into your life, are you using this wisely? It's a chance to grow and to change and to allow the confrontation that God's brought into your life to help you and to mold your life and to bring glory to God in your life. And then there's another priority, and that is the priority of perspective of opportunity. So that in verse 13, every opportunity is either used to serve myself or to serve God. Serve myself or to serve God. And in your life, that means that maybe there are some priorities need to change. All right, so Jesus preaches this sermon, and he's preaching it to two groups of people. Who's the first of the primary group he's preaching this sermon to? You tell me. The disciples, very good. And then there's another group that was listening in, but they got the point. Who was it? Pharisees, right on. You're doing well. Now, I want you to notice what the Bible says about this very thing. Verse 14, the Pharisees also who were covetous. Remember, Pharisees are very religious people. By and large, very proud. And Jesus said these ones that were listening were covetous. Discontent. They wanted more, 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 more. Never enough. These Pharisees heard all these things and they derided him. And then Jesus really gets to preaching in verse 15. He really gets to preaching. And he said to them, and he calls them out, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Have you ever noticed whenever God brings you to a rude awakening, have you ever noticed that when you don't like what you hear and what you see and what is happening when you are brought to a rude awakening, have you ever noticed how good we are at justifying ourselves? Is anyone good at justifying themselves? Yeah. And friend, when God brings you to rude awakenings and he is getting your attention and he is dealing with you in a very direct way, please understand that this is not the time to bow up against God and justify and explain all the reasons why God is wrong and you are right, why I should stay the way I am rather than submit to God. Listen to me. This is what you do in your flesh, but God is dealing with you because he wants to do something wonderful in your life, but you're going to have to come to the point that you say, I will stop justifying myself and I will bring myself humbly under submission to Almighty God. That's where you may be. That's where you may be. But when you bring yourself humbly and stop the justifying, and God, I'm wrong, you're right. You know what the Bible tells us? That God is a God that gives grace to the humble. The only way that you're going to know God's gracious power to lift you up and to change your life and to move you forward is that you finally stop justifying and bring yourself humbly. Self-justifying, humbling. when God brings you to a rude awakening, which of those two is your response? Hey, I'm going to tell you, come to the God of grace. Come to the God of grace. Humble yourselves. He will lift you up. Would you stand with me, please? In a moment, we'll have a time of invitation. We will not tarry long. But while God is speaking, we give you a chance to respond. We have people here who are waiting. If you want someone to pray with, you want someone to talk about some things with you in your life that'll take you to the Bible and really help and encourage you, you just want to, you, time with the Lord, these steps, these front chairs. But this is the time for you to respond. Remember, all of us is a steward of every area of our life. And I wonder about your soul. Are you prepared? Have you put your trust in Christ? Are you ready? This is a day that Christ can save you if you come to Him. I wonder about your life, and God is dealing with you, bringing even rude awakenings, and He's showing you. In fact, today you had no idea, but today was going to be a rude awakening day because God has spoken to you by His Spirit. This is the time for you to respond. You'll find Him to be a God of grace. So the instruments play. I'm going to pray and then give you a chance to respond. So Lord God, You are such a great God of grace, and we praise You. You have dealt with people, all of us, in our individual lives in Your timing. And now we pray, Lord, You would give us humility so we can find Your grace, and we go from here and trust Your changing, transforming power, those without Christ, His saving power. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.